because you will lose every time. But here's the series of things that happened, and it wasn't anything big or major or spiritual or anything like that, but almost everybody I talked to, they kept going, man, I'm really going through it today. I've been going through it all this week. I've been having a hard time with this, with that, and it's not even like a theme. It's not like everybody's going through like financial difficulties or whatever. It's this wide range of, yes, finances or family problems or emotional issues and anxiety and fear and uncertainty and problems and unrest. And I know that most of you and most of us have been dealing with something. I mean, I've shared things that were going on with my mother, things that have been going on. I had to go all the way back to California. Thank God she's better now. She's actually not where we thought she was. But everybody has had sick family members, the concerns for unsaved loved ones, money issues, stress, busyness, worry, uncertainty, exhaustion, tiredness. Someone came to me and said, I've just been in emotional turmoil all throughout the week. But I wanted to take some time and really kind of talk about it. Because again, I don't want to be a church where we ignore it and say, well, we'll just do business as usual. We'll just pretend it doesn't happen. We'll just smile through the problems. We'll just smile through the pain. Because a lot of people do that. You can be having your whole life basically on fire and then come to church. Hey, how's it going? Great. God bless you. Good to see you. Everything's wonderful. And then we go through the motions of a service. We have our worship time. We have our prayer circle time. We do our thing. And then we go home and have the same problems and the same issues. And I want to say, and sometimes it runs rampant within churches, but I hate the concept of false positivity. Because there's a difference to me with not wallowing in your problems, not constantly focusing on it, not, you know, being the victim and different things like that. There's a difference between that and basically not being honest with God. And we feel like sometimes we have to pretend with God or pretend with each other. And we just don't. That's not what the church is for. That's not what the church is about. It's saying having the ability to not have to pretend anymore. And saying, I am going through a tough time. And that's really what I wanted to start off with today, because I get being positive and encouraging, but sometimes we can go too far and just ignore reality when in fact, people just have a difficult time with things. I mean, I want to look at, take a look at this and tell me what you think about it. Here's a psalm from David. Psalm 142, I cry out to the Lord with my voice. With my voice to the Lord, I make my supplication. I pour out my complaint before him, and I declare before him my trouble. How many churches, how many books, how many motivational speakers would say, take your complaint to God? I pour out my troubles before him. This is King David. I pour out all of my problems. When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then you knew my path and the way in which I walked. They have secretly set a snare for me. Look at my right hand and see, for there is no one who acknowledges me. Refuge has failed me. No one cares for my soul. Boy, we should write a song about Psalm 142. I cried out to you, Lord. I said, you are my refuge, my portion in the land of the living. Attend to my cry, for I am brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are stronger than I. Bring my soul out of prison, that I might praise your name. The righteousness shall surround me, for you shall deal bountifully with me. Okay. I'm going to tell you something. You are allowed to cry out to God and lay your complaints and your troubles. It is okay to do. What is not okay to do is then again, like I just said, don't wallow in it. Because this is the trick with David. He says, my enemies have surrounded me, no one cares about me, and my refuge has failed me. Amen. Yet I know you are with me. Take care of me, and I will tell everybody about your name and make sure everybody knows you are great and holy and wonderful and faithful. Now, this isn't a, I promise to do this if you do this, but it's the idea of, I know you are faithful and true, and I want to have a testimony and an experience in my life to be able to tell everybody else about it. I have been brought down low, but I look up to you. You are allowed to say things like that. You are allowed to cry out to him and tell him everything. And I mean everything. We just had our Bible study last Wednesday, and somebody was like sheepishly going, brought a prayer request about a sick dog. I think it was Kathy. She's like, I know, you know, it's just a dog, but it's not just a dog. It is something she and her grandchildren care deeply about. And guess what? God cares deeply about those things. You can go to him for these things because the beauty and the miracle of God is he wants us to come to him. He wants us to approach him with everything, good and bad. Not only that, but he knows and understands and sympathizes with our struggles. Hebrews 4:15. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weakness, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Jesus lived on this earth fully God and fully man. He dealt with everything we deal with. The same problems, the same temptations, the same struggles. The difference is he never once sinned and we do. But he understands we don't have a God who is aloof and says, I don't understand why you just can't figure this out. Because he lived for 33 years on this planet and said, I understand why sometimes you can't figure this out. That's why I'm here. He sympathizes with us. And our cries don't fall on deaf ears. Psalm 34, I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. They looked to him and were radiant, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried out, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of his troubles. So really, this is the main thing that I want to go through today. I want to look at some scriptures that remind us of who God is and where our help comes from. Because just like Psalm 121, I lift my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. So again, even if you know these scriptures, even if they sound familiar, we probably heard them 1,000 times. You know, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. But it's good to get our heads out of the grind and right back lifting up to who God is. And remember who our refuge is, where our help comes from. Because again, we can just get into the grind and just not realize what's going on around us. And Jesus specifically says in Matthew 6, for the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them, but seek first his kingdom, his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough troubles of its own. Right before this, Jesus is talking about not worrying about what you're going to eat, what you're going to wear, where you're going to live, what you're going to do, because God knows you need them. What he is saying is stop focusing on here and start focusing up at him. take care of the things that you can take care of, which means put Jesus first in everything that you do, and he takes care of everything else. But the problem is a lot of times we kind of forget that. And I do this all the time. Have you guys played the what if game? Gosh, I'm just terrible at it, and I do it all the time. What if I fail? What if the car breaks down? What if I lose my job? What if Disney makes another terrible Star Wars movie and I got to pay to watch it? On and on and on, the what ifs, what ifs, what ifs, and then the head starts spinning and you start panicking. But this particular scripture reminds us that God's got it. He knows what we need, but we just need to seek him first. Remember, not only today, don't freak out about tomorrow. It hasn't even happened yet. You got enough in front of you right now, in other words. Focus on God and his kingdom and you, what you have in front of you, and give it all to him every single day. Psalm 56, when I am afraid, I put my trust in you. In God, whose word I praise, in God I trust, and am not afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? Again, this says, when I am afraid, I'll remember you. I'll remember I can trust you. When fear happens, it's those moments where we must turn to God and give him that fear. Here it is, almost like an offering. I have this fear, I lay it at your feet. I have this anxiety, I lay it right down before you. I give it to you, especially because sometimes I'm just too tired to carry it. And he's a lot stronger than I am. You can trust him and not be afraid no matter what. He is always trustworthy and faithful because fear and trouble will come. There is no part in the scriptures that say once you become a Christian, once you put your trust in God, it's all going to be smooth sailing from there. As a matter of fact, it's the exact opposite. John 16, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world, you're going to have trouble. What a great promise. Thanks, Jesus. You're going to have trouble, but take heart. I've overcome the world. So when trouble comes, there's a wonderful trick that everyone can use. And I'm going to tell it to you now. I'm not even going to charge you $29.95 for my new book or have you go to a convention or anything like that. Ready? Philippians 4. I know what it is to be in need and what it is to have plenty. And I've learned the secret to be content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all things through him who gives me strength. Okay, we've all heard verse 13. We don't like to talk about verse 12 because it doesn't promise anything and everything, and everything's going to be great, and you're always going to have, and you're going to have plenty. Paul says, I know what it means. I've lived it. I've had a lot of food in my stomach. I have had no food in my stomach. I've learned the trick is I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Because it puts into perspective that your source of security is not the number in your bank account. It is in the one who is forever enthroned in heaven. You know how many governments there have been in the world? How many economic crises there have been in the world? How many wars and diseases and plagues and conquering and death and problems? And if you focus on that, if you go, oh boy, I hope the government lowers the interest rates today, and that's where you put your trust, you're going to have emotional roller coasters because the government's going to do whatever it's going to do. Jesus Christ is the one enthroned and is consistent and constant for centuries and eons beyond time and eternity. And he knows what we need. There have been plenty of instances in my life where my bank account did not match my ability to pay my bills and even get through the week, but somehow by God's grace it happened. I don't know how, I don't know where it came from, but God took care of me. Which brings me to my next scripture, 1 Peter 5. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your cares on him, for he cares about you. Again, most of us like verse 7, but forget about verse 6. Humble yourselves before God. In other words, you put yourself and place yourself in total care to him. You don't go, okay, I'm going to trust you, but hold on, let me try to see if I can do this real quick. You go, okay, God, you say you're going to take care of me. You say if I seek you first, you're going to give me everything that I need. I'm going to humbly put myself under your protection and under your care. Because I have to trust that you care for me. And again, that's a big trust. You know, a lot of religions, they say, oh, the gods love you, or the gods this, or if you do this, the gods will take care of you. But sometimes they don't because they're fickle and they're mad at you for some reason. That is not who God is. We have to trust what he has revealed himself to be, which is a God who created us, who loves us enough to die for us, and who wants to take care of us and who wants us to come to him with our needs and our problems so that he can show his faithfulness. You can confidently cast your cares upon him because he cares for you. And not only that, there is a stipulation with all of us here. Look at Galatians 6. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Christianity is not a solo sport. There is no lone wolf Christians going on solo missions. That's why we're gathered on days like today. That's why we are here. It is so important that we bear with one another's burdens, take care of one another. You call the pastors, that's perfectly fine, but it's each other that you strengthen and help each other and care for each other and talk to. And it's important to get things out in the open, talk things out, and your burden will become lighter. That's why, again, we have prayer circles, we have prayer time. We have fellowship. We have a meal after service. It doesn't just the service ends and that's just some extra stuff. That is all a part of the service. And not only that, the part of our service doesn't just end on Sunday when we lock up the doors. It happens Monday through Saturday as well, where we're all caring for one another. We're all encouraging each other. We're all reading scriptures together, praying with one another, checking in on each other, even just playing video games till midnight, which don't do because I'm still recuperating. It's those kind of things because we need to be with one another. We have to be willing and honest with our struggles and pain, and so in so doing, we fulfill the law of Christ. Again, fulfilling the law of Christ is a very practical thing. Making sure that you think more about other people than yourself. Worshiping God in spirit and in truth. And doing these things like bearing each other's burdens. Because Jesus doesn't care about order of service or simply listening to a pastor make a speech on Sunday. Caring for one another is what he cares about. So many churches miss the mark on this one and focus on the law of Christ being about what clothes you wear or whether or not you sing hymns or contemporary music during a service. When this whole time together in this corporate worship is about raising our voices together in praise to our God, listening and learning and doing his word, and then spending time with each other. That is the church. Welcome to the church. And whatever it is that you're going through, remember that life and its troubles really are just a blink of an eye, real quick. And I've mentioned this before, but remember, this isn't it. Romans 8, for I consider the suffering of this present time not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed to us. Remember what that if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, this life isn't it. There is so much more waiting for us. Suffering and pain and tears are going to be wiped out with Jesus Christ. Because remember, Hebrews 13, for this world is not our permanent home. We are looking forward to a home yet to come. Therefore, let us offer through Jesus a continual sacrifice of praise to God, proclaiming our allegiance to His name. And don't forget to do good and to share with those in need. These are the sacrifices that please God. Again, this is the practical application of Christianity. It's not saying this elaborate premeditated prayer and you have to bow down and worship a certain way or sing a certain way or dress a certain way or worry about these things. What pleases God is doing good and sharing with those who are in need, just like bearing one another's burdens. We need to understand that God cares for us. I get that there are a lot of people, me included, you know, hearing God be my father, I had a picture of what a father looked like, and it wasn't pretty. And so if he says in the Bible, I am like a father to you, I'm like, uh-oh, that's not good. But when he reveals himself to be a faithful and true father, when I say, okay, this is the father I've known, but you say you're different, so I'm going to trust you. Because again, I can go to him. You know how many prayers of mine that say, this just sucks. I don't want to do this. I don't want to get up in the morning. Or I'm driving to work and I'm like, God, help me through this day. I really don't want to be here right now. It's okay to do that. It's okay to be in that position. But remember, bear with one another's burdens. Realize that this is not our permanent home. And understand that God is faithful and true and was willing to hear you. It doesn't fall on deaf ears. God does not look at us with apathy. So, worship team, if you guys want to go ahead and come up, I want to conclude with a couple more things. Just play something. I really just kind of wanted to take this time and realize and understand that I don't want this just to pass by. We're going to take a little bit of time. I didn't want to just get up here and preach for as long as I normally do. But I wanted you guys to realize and understand that in anything and everything that you're going through, again, you're not alone. I don't ever want you guys to think that I come up here and go, listen, I've got it all together. That's why God made me a pastor. Here's the deal. You guys are screwing up. You got to do like me because I got everything in line. This message, this stuff going on was as much for me as it is for anybody else. Because it starts with me. It starts with, hey, cast your cares on me because I care about you. And I'm like, oh yeah, I forgot about that. Or, hey, this life isn't it. You have this eternity with me. Oh yeah, oh. I should probably write that down and share that with somebody else because I'm me. I've gone through all of this. I've spent those, you know, do you ever wake up at 3 in the morning with that weird panic attack and you don't quite understand why? That weird little, and then your brain's like, oh, I'll give you something. Think about this. And it's like 3 in the morning and you're, again, you're doing the what ifs. you're anxious and you're not understanding. And then I hate those moments, and then I'll be up for, I'm missing an hour's worth of sleep. Maybe if I do this, this will work out. Maybe if I do this more, maybe if I move this around, maybe da 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 da. And I realize now it's not 3 in the morning, it's 5:30, and I got to get up in an hour. But then God gave me something. He reminded me of a song. A song everybody knows. But there's a part of it that says, "Oh, what peace we often forfeit. What needless pain we bear. All because we don't carry everything to God in prayer. Because if I was a smarter man, as soon as that 3 a.m. thing hits, I go, okay, God, I'm anxious right now, and I don't know why, and my brain's giving me a lot of reasons to be anxious, and I really just want to go back to sleep. So I lay it all before you. If I was a smarter man, I wouldn't lose an hour and a half of sleep. So I want us all to realize and remember that God loves us. He cares for us. He doesn't want us to lose sleep. He wants us to remember Him in every part of our lives. The good, the bad, even the little things that we think, oh, this is just a minor thing, like our dog being sick. Take it to Him. Because He cares for you. And those are those moments where when you are going through something, you can go, oh yeah, He got me through that. Okay, you got this. My dog's sick again, but you got him better before. All right, God, you can do this again. Because He never leaves, He never falters, and He never gets tired of us. Even if we come to Him with the same thing over and over and over again. God, I'm real anxious about this. I know, you told that to me an hour ago. Because sometimes our prayers are more about us remembering. Saying, okay, God, you can take care of me. Because He loves us. Romans 8. For I'm persuaded that neither life nor death, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present or things to come, nor height nor depth, nor any created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Again, I'm not a smart man, but what I just read, that means there is absolutely nothing ever in all of this world and in the next world and those things that are here and those things that are invisible that can ever separate us from God's love. And if we can trust in God's love, He's going to take care of us and be there with us. Always. Again, if I was a smarter man, I'd know that. But I have to be reminded of it just like everybody else. So again, I always say this every week. I want you guys to take some time. Those who pray, who stand up here, go ahead and come on up here if you want. Take this time. Pray with one another. Even if you don't come up here, but pray with one another. Worship together and realize and remember that God is faithful and He will fulfill His promise. And remember, He's gotten you this far. Do you really think He's going to leave you now and not take you all the way to the end? So let's pray and we'll take the rest of this time. Holy Father, I bless you and thank you for your faithfulness and your holiness and your love and your grace and the fact that we can cast our cares on you. I ask you to bless everybody here, strengthen them in whatever it is that they're going through. Help them to even have maybe a better week than they had this week, because maybe this week sucked. We ask you to bless everybody here. Help us to remember who you are and cast our burdens on you, cast our burdens on each other, and remember that you care and love us. In Jesus' holy name, amen.